I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason on Inside Sources.
We're going to take a little step off of the beaten path. We often say that the road less traveled is the road best traveled. And often when we're dealing with friends or family or loved ones or colleagues and something has gone wrong, they're hurting, a death in the family, a loss of a job, a relationship ends, whatever it might be, we do have this innate desire or urge to fix it, to solve it, to make it better. And I think we often hear echoing in our heads maybe something our mothers yelled at us when we were little, to don't just stand there, do something. And sometimes the right answer to help somebody in need might be to not do something, stand there. And we're going to break all of that down and look at some interesting things over the next two segments. So you want to stick around for a crucial conversation, an enlightened conversation with our good friend Rabbi Joe Charnas, who is a Jewish teacher and scholar devoted to interfaith dialogue and engagement, joining us from California. And Rabbi Joe, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Boyd. Appreciate it.
And so as we start this whole thing, and you've experienced this in so many different settings, we do have this natural inclination to just want to fix things or to solve it or to say it will be okay. You shared with me a couple of weeks ago something from Job that I think a lot of us miss. We always think of all of the problems, the challenges, the trials that Job has, but there's some pretty interesting lessons in terms of how do you help someone going through those trials?
Yeah, that was a beautiful conversation, and thank you for wanting to revisit it with a broader audience so we can all hopefully learn what Job has to offer us. And Job, the book of Job, not many people read, or they don't read it deeply. And Job is a genuine masterpiece, not because I am Jewish and it's part of my Bible. Victor Hugo, Carlyle, Tennyson, They speak of Job in the most exalted manner, that it is one of the greatest poem ever written when understood fully and broadly. And it applies to all of us as human beings, regardless of our faith, tradition, or background. And one thing that I can offer from the Jewish tradition, I do speak obviously through the prism of the Jewish faith, but I hope I speak in a way that we as human beings can all relate to. The details in Job are often remembered and they're reflected upon. But in Judaism, the details of the story are not simply describing. They're not simply the descriptive. They're also prescriptive. This is how I think, broadly speaking, Judaism often reads a text. The details are there. Yes, but they're directives, and they are guiding us how we can walk through life more fully. And so in this story of Job, in the second chapter, the friends of Job come to visit him from afar, and he's suffered all of the plagues and the loss of his family and his fortune, and he is in dire, dire straits. So in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, it speaks of Job's friends hearing. I'll just read it from everybody likes the ESV translation, but it speaks of Job's three friends heard of all the evil or the suffering that had come upon him, and they came, each from his own place, his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. But what's interesting here is that they came. They didn't just come to visit him. They came each, in the Hebrew, from his own place. They each have a place that they are coming from.
Right.
And this is critical for us when we are going to another person.
Mm.
How can I come to a person? I'm not going. I am coming from a place. And I am going to another place right now for this person who is in loss, for a person who is suffering. But the first and most important, I think, detail and instructive aspect of the story is that they came, each person from his own place, and when they came, they came to show sympathy and comfort. And that word for sympathy in the Hebrew is it's not a very clear word in terms of its usage, but we have a sense. And one dimension has to do with in showing the sympathy for him, to comfort him. The word sympathy doesn't actually capture what aspect of the verb is trying to convey, which is they were coming shaking their heads, is one nuance of the verb. They were in such shock, such horror at what they saw, at what they heard. And that's the critical, I think, step in coming to another person to help them and comfort them.
Yeah.
And then in verse 12, and we often miss that. We simply come and we show up.
Right.
But they're coming with disbelief, with shock, with pain, with angst. That's how we have to come to another person who is in that same place so that we can be with them. Not say anything, just be with them.
Right.
And when they saw him from a distance is the language. They saw him from a distance. Well, it could mean they saw him far away. They saw he was far, and they saw him, and they didn't recognize him. That's the language.
Yeah.
I think a deeper sense is trying to be conveyed here is that, of course, they recognized him. They knew who he was. It's Job, their friend. But he was unrecognizable because of his sorrow, his loss, his pain.
Right.
And so they are coming to him. He's not recognizable because he is now distanced from who he is. And our goal in comfort is simply to come back to the person where they are, not to say anything, to come where they are. And briefly, it says next that they tore their garments, they raised their voice, and they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word. So the key thought I'll leave you with in this portion is when they came to him, they sat. They didn't speak. They sat.
That's so important.
And the word there for, it is, Boyd, you're right. And the word for with, there are a few words in Hebrew for with, and there is a debate over this word. This word, according to some commentators, is a deep identifying withness, an intimate withness. And that's what it's conveying to us. When we go to a person who is in grief, we can just sit there. But are we with them? Are we dwelling with them? Or are we simply functionally there?
Right.
I'm
going to have you pause right there, Rabbi. Just listeners that are just joining us, we're with Rabbi Joe Charnas. We're talking about this, how we actually are with people, especially those that might be in grief or struggling or having a difficulty of some sort. We've been looking at the example from the Bible of Job, and so many important lessons there in terms of the friends that they came. They came from their own place. I think that's an important thing for us to keep in mind as we interact with us. We come from a place. I love the fact that the three friends made an appointment together. I think that's what ministering looks like. You're actually coming intentionally. It was purposefully. It wasn't just, maybe we'll show up because we have an extra minute. It was very intentional. And then that they were with him. And we're going to pick up on this when we come back from the break. We're going to continue our conversation with Rabbi Joe Charnas because that is what we do. We're going to stay with the conversation, and we're going to get into this essence of what it means to just be with someone and to give them one of the most important things we can, our presence, our full attention. Stay with us. More coming up with Rabbi Joe Charnas on Inside Sources on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to Inside Sources. We're staying with the conversation just a little bit longer. Remember, Einstein, I think, said it best, that it wasn't that he was any smarter than anyone else. It's just that he was willing to stay with the question a little longer. And we're staying with the question. This whole idea of the need or the desire we have to fix things when we have a neighbor in need or a friend with a problem or a discouraging situation, whatever it might be, we want to fix. We want to fix. But what we really need to do is step back and be present. And everything starts to change from there. So we're going to continue our conversation with Rabbi Joe Charnas, a Jewish teacher and scholar devoted to interfaith dialogue and engagement, and someone that I look to have elevated conversations on a wide range of things. And Rabbi Joe, just before the break, we had gone through Job, and most people, regardless of faith tradition, know about Job and all that he lost and the trials and tests that he faced. And we've been going through this scenario where his three friends come to comfort him. And we were just going through the fact, one, they came from afar. They were in tune enough to know they were needed there. And then they came, and I want to get into what they did when they actually got there. They didn't say, you're going to be okay, you got this. They did something quite different.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And to lead into that, when they came to him from afar, each from his own place, the critical, I think, detail that must be instructive for us, we must highlight this detail, is that each one came from his own place. I think the Bible here is trying to highlight for us that we each have a place to come from that can bring something to another person. But we have to be rooted in our place. We have to have grounding.
Yeah.
That's his or her own place. And they came together to show sympathy and to shake their heads and comfort. But they didn't. How often when we see a person, they're not recognizable. That's the beauty of verse 12. They saw him from a distance and they didn't recognize him because Job wasn't in his place. He was right. Uprooted from life. And so he was distanced from himself, so they couldn't recognize him in his former glory. And we'll skip over the dust and the tearing of the robes, but they sat with him. And again, according to some commentators, that word for sitting with. Is intimate withness, not sitting by, but with. But notice what they didn't do, as you said. They didn't say, he's in a better place, or they're in a better place, or God wouldn't give you a test that you can't withstand, or it's all going to turn out for the best. Those may all be true. But at this point in time, all they did was, in verse 12, they raised their voices, they wept, they tore their robes, and they sprinkled dust over their heads towards heaven, and sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. Judaism has the tradition of mourning by sitting on the ground for 7 days and seven nights. Because symbolically, again, that's the detail, but the symbolism behind that is we can't go any lower.
Yeah,
that's the directive for us to face that. And what happens next is always the problem for us. I'm sitting with you, and what do I say? So the beautiful, beautiful insight from Job chapter 2, verse 13, this last little section of the Three Friends episode, as far as the intro at least, they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him. And they saw, and it gives a reason, they saw that his suffering was very great. Mm. The goal for all of us, we have noble hearts, compassionate hearts, wanting to help. We want to help. The problem is words aren't the way.
Yeah.
The text here is simply, they sat with, deeply with him, mm-hmm. in silence and in sorrow. And the key word there is with.
Yeah.
So, silence. That says everything. That says it all, because there's nothing we can say. But I am here by sitting with you.
Yeah, and listen, I want to expand that out now a little bit in terms of kind of how we do that day to day. I think that, that sitting with and saying nothing, I think those two components in and of itself, we could spend weeks just on that element in, and how that plays out in our daily lives. If we really are with people and we're willing to be still and be silent with people, that's where we can actually do the most good, because I'm still convinced that the most – one of the most holy and sacred things we can give to another person is that being with, being totally present, giving full mm-hmm. attention to. Help us kind of broaden this out now, Rabbi, in terms of how this applies okay. to all of us, in terms of being present with the people around us.
Beyond the immediate context of mourning and grieving. Now it's just broad withness, simply being with another person wherever they are, in their place. Presence. So I would use the word presence. How can we be present? I think it's a beautiful way of understanding the word presence is through the prism of the Hebrew language. Mm. One of the Hebrew words for presence, biblically speaking, actually is your face. It's face, F-A-C-E. The word face in Hebrew is presence. In fact, there's a verse in the book of Exodus, in chapter 33, when God speaks to Moses, and he says, he doesn't say, I will go with you and give you rest. He says, literally, I don't know how they do it in English, but I'm telling you, literally, it says, Ponai, my face, or my face is, literally, will go, they will go with you. So the first key right here for all of us is, how often are we even facing another person?
Right.
My presence is almost always obvious by my face. My face. Am I facing you?
Yeah.
If I'm not facing you, either outwardly or certainly within my inner face, there's no presence. Mm. But if my face will go with you, that's my presence. And in the Aramaic translation of that, we didn't get to go, we're not going into deep theology here, but the Aramaic translation of that language of my face, of the language my face, uses the word for, in English, they say it's Shekinah, right? The glorious presence, the indwelling presence of God.
Mm.
That's the Aramaic translation in this context of face, because that's the glorious presence.
Yeah.
How can we bring our glorious presence to another person? Simply by facing them, by seeing their face.
Yeah.
By seeing their glory, by understanding there is another person before me. You're not faceless. You are a face. You are a person. And how can we begin to connect with each other? And how can my face go with you? Not can I walk with you, but how can my face, my presence, be with you? It's a wonderful meditation, I think, that will help us face each other more fully.
I love that. I love that. Rabbi Joe Charnas, Jewish teacher and scholar, devoted to interfaith dialogue and engagement. We're going to continue this conversation over the next couple of weeks, because I think this is one where we get so sideways so fast. And if we can't be present with people, if we can't really turn our face toward them and be with them, it's really hard to get any of to those meaningful places and spaces in terms of dialogue, connection, and helping everyone move to higher ground. Rabbi Joe, thank you so much for joining us on a Friday. Shabbat shalom to you, rolling into the Sabbath.
Look forward to it.
And we look forward to having you back soon. All right, that's Rabbi Joe Charnas. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue on a Friday here on Inside Sources on KSL News Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tune 2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.